Well, welcome back to our next edition of the Mike Caro Radio Program, What's Up America? As always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And my guest today is historian and author Steve Schneider, who is an expert on the 8th Air Force and the air war over Europe during World War II. And in Steve's book, which we're going to be talking all about, Shot Down, it's a true story about brave individuals featuring Steve's own father, pilot Howard Schneider, and the crew of the B-17 bomber plane Susan Ruth. It is set within the compelling events of the greatest conflict in world history. And Steve, it's such a pleasure and honor that you could join me today. We want to talk about all of that. But first of all, let's start at the beginning and talk about how you got, you know, to become a historian and got involved in all of this. Did a lot of that have to do with your dad?
Well, yeah. Well, I was born in 1947, so it was, you know, just a couple of years after the war ended. And, you know, back then when I was a kid, there were lots of World War II movies, and I read books about World War II growing up, and I was always interested in it. And then, of course, my dad's World War II experiences. Growing up, I knew the basics of his World War II experiences. He was a B-17 pilot. He was stationed in England in the 8th Air Force, and his plane was named the Susan Ruth after my oldest sister, who was 1 year old at the time that he went overseas. And he was shot down on a bombing mission to over Belgium. And he was missing in action for 7 months, but he evaded capture and eventually made it back to England. But it wasn't until I retired in 2009 that I really had the time to delve into my dad's war history in more detail. By that time, I had no intention of writing a book at all. I just wanted to find out more details, and my parents had kept a lot of material from the war years, and there were two items that were really significant. One was a diary that my dad wrote while he was missing in action about his plane being shot down. It was absolutely riveting. And the other item was all the letters that my mother had kept that my dad had written to her while he was stationed in England, and reading those letters were absolutely fascinating, and I just became fascinated with the story of my dad and his crew. It became my passion.
Oh, great. So with this, Shot Down book here, so you mentioned that a lot of the research came from those letters. I'm not sure if, your dad's still with us or was with us at the time, but how did you get a lot of, you know, the research done for this book?
Well, I started reading it after reading those letters and redeveloping the passion. I started reading book after book about the air war in Europe. I went on the internet and spent countless hours doing research, downloading declassified military documents. And I went on a quest to find relatives of all my dad's crew members. A B-17 had a 10-man crew. Fly with the crew made it back home, but five of them didn't. But I asked them if they had any information they could provide to me, letters, pictures, newspaper articles. It's all based on firsthand testimony by the people who were involved in the event and the events that took place. But I probably wouldn't have written the book if it wasn't for two Belgian gentlemen, Dr. Paul Delahaye and Jacques Collot. They were young boys during the war, and they saw firsthand the atrocities committed by the Nazis against their family and friends. And later in life, they became local historians, and they interviewed these Belgian people and members of the Belgium underground about events that took place involving my dad and his crew. And they documented their testimony, and they gave me unbelievably detailed information about events that would have been lost forever without their research. So I owe them a great debt of gratitude. And then really the biggest surprise, and something that was super exciting, is that I found the German Luftwaffe pilot that shot down my dad's plane and interviewed him for the book.
Wow.
Yeah, so that from the time I started my research to the time the book was published was 4.5 years.
Wow. So that is something that you get these firsthand accounts, and even the guy that shot down, that must have been an interesting interview, huh?
Yeah, well, actually, the gunners on my dad's plane shot him down, too. His name's Hans Berger, and he's still alive. He's 95 years old and lives in Munich. So he bailed out and made it through the war. And fortunately for me, he became a translator after the war, so he speaks perfect English.
Oh, great, great. So, yeah, it was great to be able to communicate like that. And so, Steve, so we're talking about the 8th Air Force. Was that it then?
Yes. The 8th Air Force there was lots of different air forces stationed in different parts of the world during World War II. And the 8th Air Force was stationed in England. There were about 40 bomb groups in the 8th Air Force at its peak, and they fought the air war over occupied Europe and Germany against the goal of hitting military and industrial targets to cripple Nazi Germany's ability to wage war.
Oh, okay. So basically, like we're saying that this book and you know everyone and the crew of the plane were all in the 8th Air Force. That
yes, yes. My dad was in the 306 bomb group, which was one of the bomb groups in the 8th Air Force during the war. The 8th Air Force. They lost 26,000 men during the war. That's more than the entire Marine Corps fighting in the Pacific. And another 28,000 men, it was 26,000 men who died. It was 28,000 men who became prisoners of war after their bombers were knocked out of the sky by either German fighters or anti-aircraft fire. Oh. Being a combat crewman in the 8th Air Force was the most dangerous duty assignment in the United States military during World War II.
Great. So one thing I see here that sounds very interesting, it talks about the B-17 Flying Fortress. That sounds cool. Can you tell us more about what that's about?
Sure. It was nicknamed, it was a four-engine bomber, a B-17. It was nicknamed Flying Fortress because of the amount of armament on the plane, that they had 12 to 13 50-caliber machine guns, so it could put out a tremendous amount of firepower. And also it could take a tremendous amount of battle damage and continue flying. There were two types of bombers that were flown in over Europe during the war. One was the B-17 Flying Fortress, and the other was the B-24 Liberator.
Wow. So yeah, that's interesting to know. So, I mean, how many B-17s were there? I mean, during the war, was there a lot of, was that one of the big bombers? Or?
Yeah, that was one of the big bombers. There were 12,731
wow.
B-17s manufactured.
Wow.
During the war, and about 40% of those were shot down.
So with this Susan Ruth, what ended up happening to this particular plane? I mean, it was shot down and then scrapped, and that was the end of its career? Or?
It was on a bombing mission to Frankfurt, Germany on February 8th of 1944, when my dad's plane, the Susan Ruth, dropped its bomb successfully. But the bomb bay doors got hit by anti-aircraft fire flak, and they couldn't get them back up. And as a result, that caused a drag on the plane. It started losing airspeed, and it lagged behind a B-17 formation that was heading back to the bases in England. And they were singled out by two German Focke-Wulf 190 fighters. And in the ensuing air battle, the Susan Ruth was shot down. Two of the 10-man crew were killed in the plane. The other 8 bailed out. And the plane then came down and crashed in the little village of Mackenlois, Belgium, which is just north of the French border. And then the Germans really just used that as scrap metal because they were needed all the metal they could get during the war. So that's what happened to the plane itself.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's really interesting there. And so now we wanted to talk, Steve, about this. You know, we are mentioning Belgian underground and French resistance. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. Well, after my dad bailed out, excuse me, he came down in some trees and his parachute got hung up. And he was dangling 20 feet off the ground and couldn't get down. But fortunately for him, a couple of young Belgian men, Henri Franken and Raymond Durvin, came to his rescue before the Germans got to him. They helped him down out of the tree. And that night they took him to the Durvin farmhouse. And he stayed there one night. They thought it was too dangerous for him to stay there any longer than that, with German patrols combing the area and looking for these guys that had bailed out. So a Belgian customs officer, a man named by the name of Paul Tilquin, came and got him on a tandem bicycle and took him to another location. Then after that, he was moved around from place to place to place. So you might spend, excuse me, one night at a house, you might spend 6 weeks. It all depended on how brave the people were who lived there and how dangerous the Belgium underground thought it was for him to stay there. And those people that hid my dad were unbelievably brave individuals. They risked not only their lives, but those of their family and friends. Because if the German secret police, the Gestapo, found out about it, they'd be arrested, tortured, and either shot or sent to concentration camps. And some of the people that helped my dad and his crew did meet that fate. And so he was hidden for several months, and finally he got tired of hiding. And he decided to join the French resistance and start fighting against the Germans. Before my dad went into the Air Force, he was in the Army infantry for a year, so he knew how to fight on the ground, unlike most airmen. And word had come that the Allies had landed at Normandy on D-Day, June 6th, 1944. We knew that the U.S. armies were going to be making their way up through France. So with the French resistance, they were called the Mackie, and the Mackie were small bands of guerrilla groups located all over France, and their job was to harass the Germans. They would disrupt communications, sabotage railway lines, attack convoys, assassinate German officers, and they got their instructions from the British through coded messages over the BBC, and then they were supplied by the British through airdrops. And there's a number of instances in the book of encounters that my dad's resistance group had with the Germans. There's also a number of instances in the book where when he was in hiding, he was almost captured by the Germans. So that was pretty exciting stuff. That took a lot of bravery and a lot of guts for him to join the French resistance, because he could have died in, you know, fighting. Well, if the Germans captured him, they would have shot him on the spot as being a spy. That took a lot of courage to make that decision, because he could have just stayed hunkered down and hiding and waited it out until the U.S. armies came up to liberate the area. But he decided to get back in the fight.
Okay, Steve, you know what? That sounds great. What we are going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back for our next segment. My guest today is historian and author Steve Snyder, who is an expert on the 8th Air Force and the air war over Europe during World War II, and he's got a great book called Shot Down. You definitely want to check that out. You are listening to the Mike Carra radio program, What's Up America, as always, partly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth, and please stay with us for our next segment of this edition of our program today.